Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
We're a father-son studying the Bible together, and glad that you are able to kind of eavesdrop in with us. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4. Today we're looking at verses 4 and 5 in this section that we've entitled Ceased from Sin, which is verses 1 through 6 of chapter 4. Today, we're looking at verses 4 and 5. And talking about that list of sins that that in the times past we did, that the Gentiles did, but we're not supposed to any longer. So he says in verse 4, with respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead.
Yeah, so he says, with respect to this, obviously that's this list of sins that he's been describing for us in verse 3 that we talked about last time. But with respect to this idea that you're living for the Lord, you're having a spiritual focus, you're leaving all these this sinful lifestyle in the past, he says there's going to be people that's surprised whenever you're not in all that anymore. He says, you were running in this other group in the past. You were doing all these other things. You were in all these parties and doing all this stuff. But that's not who you are anymore because you're in Christ. And since he's been calling them to stay that way, he says there's going to be people that surprised that you're not going back to that, that you're not going back and joining them in that same stuff. That's something that can be a struggle, especially whenever you're, you know, coming from one lifestyle to another, is having those people that, you know, kind of expect the same stuff out of you that you had before.
Yeah. And the idea of joining them, some translations, like the American Standard says run with them, but literally translated, it's flocking together, which makes you think back, excuse me, to chapter 2 and verse 25 when he says we're straying like sheep. Well, we're straying like sheep when we flock together with the wrong sheep. And, you know, that idea here, though, is of peer pressure. It's really what he's talking about. Peer pressure is real. Not just for younger people, but for older people as well, of why aren't you doing the same things with us that you always did? Let's go hang out here. Let's go do this. We always had before. Now, why aren't you doing it? And they don't understand why you're not.
Yeah, I think a lot of teens and young people think that peer pressure is a struggle just for teens and young people. I was one of those people that thought that was, and then I became an adult and it's like, oh, peer pressure doesn't go away. Like, it just comes in different forms, you know. But peer pressure is a real thing, and especially whenever you've been flocking together with different people. You have relationships with friends.
And family.
You're with people that, you know, are expecting the same thing out of you, and you make that change, and then it's like, okay, well, now what? You know, because at some level that relationship's going to change.
And sometimes it's, you know, we can control those,
right.
But sometimes we can. It's people we work with or people in the neighborhood or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And those same people are still involved in the same things and they don't understand why we aren't.
Yeah. And that can be some hard conversations to talk about. But here in verse 4, he starts to talk about how that, he says they will malign you. They're seeking to judge you, to drag you down, to speak ill of you, maybe. I mean, that can come in a lot of different forms, but, you know, that's where this peer pressure comes into play in that, you know, we're just going to guilt trip you basically until you come back to where you're supposed to be, quote unquote.
Yeah. And to put it into First Peter terms, what they're doing is causing you to have suffering by doing that.
Yeah.
And when they do, there's going to be some that when that suffering comes, we call it peer pressure, but Peter would call it suffering, they're going to go back to flocking with those people. those same sheep because their spirituality is not enough to keep them from doing wrong.
Well, and that's, I mean, you look at verse 3 and you see all, you know, the terrible descriptions of sin and what that looks like, and you're like, well, why would anybody want to be involved with that? And then you see, well, they were already, and you've got people that are still calling them back to that pattern of life, and it's like, well, that's, you know, maybe that's what's calling them back. And Peter starts to kind of give them this encouragement and this contrast in verse 5. He says, they'll give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. The they, there is these people that's trying to pull you back into the sin and this flood of debauchery he's talking about.
Yeah, and that goes back to chapter 1 and verse 17. They're not living in fear of the Lord. Mm-mm. So don't run with them, no matter how much they might malign you or, you know, cause you to suffer, because, again, back to 3:17, it's better to suffer and do right than to do evil. Suffer and stay on the right side. Fear God more than you fear them. When you stand in judgment, make sure that you're standing on the right side. Remember in chapter 2, verse 23, when he's talking about how Jesus suffered, he trusted the one who would judge righteously. Well, here he's talking about that judgment that's going to happen. And we'll tell people, well, don't judge me. That's fine, as long as you understand you will be judged. God will judge you one day, and he will use his standards, not ours.
Yeah. And, I mean, the other thing I think to note here, if you just look at the overall theme of the book, you put yourself in this situation where you were in all this kind of stuff, you've come out of it, you've started living for the Lord, and now all those temptations are returning. And you get this letter from Peter, this book of 1 Peter that we have here, and I start to think about, obviously, in the first few chapters, how many times he emphasizes, first of all, your relationship with the Lord, and second, your relationship with the brethren, and, you know, how that you're supposed to be encouraging one another, that you're helping one another through these times of suffering and whatnot. What an encouragement that needs to be, and probably is, in this situation, is to, instead of flocking with the people that are trying to bring you down and guilt trip you into living your old way of life, flock to the people who are trying to help you and encourage you and help you in your pursuing of a relationship with the Lord.
But what we typically do is the opposite. Yeah. When I go back into that lifestyle of sin, doing those things that I was doing previously, and you come and try to help me to see the error of my way, then I say, well, you can't judge me. And I bow up against you rather than listening. And, you know, really, it's better to have the judging done here when we can make a change rather than wait until it's too late when we stand before God, whom we should have been fearing all along, rather than what these men might do to us instead.
Yeah, I think we overuse a lot the whole idea of don't judge me and that kind of thing that we get from Jesus. But I think if you kind of read between the lines here and what Peter's saying, I think the bigger concept is you're already going to be judged, and you're already being judged by Father. So, you know, it's one thing if somebody's just pressing their opinion on you, and that's a study for another time in another verse. But, you know, there's a difference in me just pushing my opinion on you and saying, well, you should do this because I think so. And there's a big difference between that and saying, hey, this is what the Lord has called us to be. And, you know, let's encourage one another to be closer to that standard, because that's what we're going to be judged by. It's already what we're being judged by. But while we can still make a change, let's make a change.
Yeah. And I can say, don't judge me all day long, but he says, we will give account. I can't say that to God. I will be judged whether I'm living or dead when Jesus returns again. So we want to live in fear of him rather than fear of men. That's why we want to cease from sin. Not that we will never sin, but that's not the lifestyle that we are pursuing, because we're following the example of Jesus. So we hope that's an encouragement to you as you've studied along with us today. We hope you'll like and share and subscribe and tell others about Scripture Spotlight. More than anything, we hope that you'll dedicate 5 to 10 minutes a day with us, whether that's while you're getting ready for school or driving to work or relaxing in the evening, anytime in between, that you will dig into God's Word with us daily on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.